So we had the community board meeting yesterday, and we had, to start off with, just hearing from the Greenslade Road, well, some people from Greenslade Road, about what's happening with the playground that was going to go in there. They want something different. Is there a process that's going to happen to resolve that?
Council came up with a couple of plans on a playground, but the people there have had a look at those, and they have sort of come up with a more eco-friendly looking playground is what they want. And so we will have to have discussions around that, whether we can actually achieve that within the area that's set aside for that, because obviously there's a lot of private land around there that's planned to be developed, things like that. So we've just got to see. The playground area is not very big, so you know how far beyond that are they looking? I don't know at this stage.
You're talking far beyond. You're also talking about in terms of the future, more people.
Well, I'm talking about the area wise, because the playground itself was only on a very small footprint,
right?
Because you know swings and slides and things that were in a designated area, but I get the feeling that what they're looking at is quite a lot larger than that.
Yeah, yeah. And is there much flat land down there? I mean, I've been down there. It feels like it's mostly...
No, well, I don't know. I'd have to go back and have a look, but most of it's sort of rolling pasture.
Yeah, okay. Now, what was the other thing? Oh, someone was asking about privet. What was that? Was it concerns about privet?
That came up in the last community board meeting, must have been about November, about what's council's policy on privet and that sort of thing, because years and years ago... everyone sort of got rid of privet, and the council sprayed it on the roadside edges and things like that. And it was actually a noxious weed 50 years ago, but it's been taken off. Apparently, it's been taken off the noxious weed list now, and so it just grows merrily.
It certainly does.
Particularly if you look around the side of the road, around Fodder Fodder and that, it's all privet. Someone was asking about it and what the policy was, but the council still does spray it, and. A lot of the guys that do the weeding and things around town and that remove it and things like that, but it's not a noxious weed at this stage. So yeah, it does grow in a lot of areas.
And of course, it's on private property. Council's
not interested. No.
No, they're not going to be sending a notice saying you've got a noxious weed. Like, I've seen people in town sometimes get notices about noxious weeds, and I don't know whether that's a district or regional council that does that. But in any case, they wouldn't be about privet, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and all the way along State Highway 23, you know, you can see it everywhere.
Yeah, totally. And you can, if you're sensitive, you don't need to look, you can sense it anyway. There was something that you just mentioned as an aside during the meeting, was about the boat ramp fees. You'd asked council to get some boat ramp fees out here. What's happened with that?
It came up. It was just a bit of general discussion at one stage in the meeting when they were all out of control. someone said, if we had boat ramp fees, we would be able to cover some other costs. But we did put an application in for boat ramp fees, and the boaties were happy that to pay a boat ramp fee, as long as it was reasonable, and all the money went back into the assets and that sort of thing. But my understanding is within council it was decided that it was too hard to monitor and manage the process for the return we'd get, so it was put on hold.
Okay. That's not what's the community board? You didn't really discuss it. I was going to say, what's the community board's thoughts on that? But
yeah, we didn't discuss it as a community board. Originally, we're all in favour of it, so I think people would still be in favour of it. And it'd have to be some sort of parking meter type, prepaid parking meter type thing where, you know, you just have a kiosk down there, you pay your fee. If you're a casual boatie, you just pay your fee there. If you're an annual boatie, then you just buy a year's license for $120, $150.
I mean, they do this all around the North Island, as far as I can tell, in little obscure places. So, I mean, does it rely on honesty a little bit?
Yeah, well, it does to a certain extent, unless you're going to police it and things like that. Yeah, and it has come up in Nelson. I was just reading yesterday that in Nelson, I think they've put the fees up from $6 to $15 to use the boat ramp, and from about $100 a year to $315, and that's causing a bit of turmoil with the locals.
Well, yeah, maybe they've had the same thing happen here, which is it's not the locals, it's the people coming from far and wide that are causing the congestion at the boat ramps. And you have to do something, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the reality is, you know, if the East Coast rough, the guys in the middle of the island will come to Raglan to go fishing.
Yeah.
With an 8-day fishing thing this weekend and the following weekend, we're going to see a lot of boaties out here because the weather is good and the fishing's probably all right. And so, yeah, there will be congestion at the ramps.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to try and pursue that then? The staff have decided they don't want to do it, but...
Well, we're going to have a meeting later in the month, or whenever we decide, March. The community board's going to sit down itself and look at sort of the plan going forward for the next 18 months and what do we as a board like to achieve,
yeah,
and that sort of thing. So it'll come up in those discussions, no doubt.
Yeah, okay. Since the first time I've talked to you, how did town cope through summer, do you think? I sort of had my head down, so but maybe you've heard people... saying they thought it was all right, or that there was were there enough police? Was it congested? How was everything?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because it gets busy, and I tend to just stay home.
Yeah, right, same. Yeah,
and if I go anywhere, it's usually up to Surf Life Saving Club, so I'm not crossing the one way bridge because I live in Raglan West,
yeah,
and that sort of thing. And if we come to town, we walk. But I did get feedback. We've still got, you know, we've certainly got issues on parking. There were people complaining about parking. Friends of ours that come into town so they can't get parking, and they all comment on how busy it is and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, I think things went reasonably well. There was a few issues around rubbish collection at one stage, but nothing really major that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear. I think, to be honest with the parking, I think maybe the days of getting the park you want are past us in Raglan now.
Yeah, I think the people that think they can park at the butcher shop, get their meat, and then drive up to the supermarket and park again, I think they've got to realise you've just got to walk a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a challenge if you're elderly, but, yeah, that's just the situation, or come early in the morning.
Yeah, certainly during the summer, that's the time to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. While we were talking about boat ramps and things, is there any news on the Manu Bay break wall that we've been talking about for 10 years? Not you, but I have been.
It's being peer reviewed now.
Yeah.
And I've asked Alison to get me more information.
She's the Chief Financial Officer.
CFO, yeah. She's the executive representative to our community board meetings, for those that don't know. I've asked her for more information on the timeline that he's going to take to review the peer review, what the consultants have come up with.
Because this is the peer review we've been waiting on for like best part of it. It feels like a year. But
well, the consultants did their bit and got their information together. That was where the real delay was.
Okay.
And that sort of thing.
So that has happened.
That has happened. Well, the fact that they're telling me it's a peer review, when I have assumed that has happened. I haven't seen any documentation.
Yeah.
But I assume it has happened now that it's going through the peer review. So the peer review, it should only take them a matter of weeks, a couple of weeks, to sit down and review it and make sure it all makes sense, and then it can come to a meeting of the stakeholders associated with that area.
Okay.
Which we'll have to go through that process, which was meant to happen over about 15 months ago, mm-hmm. But it didn't.
Yeah. Okay, I know that in the last time I looked at the long-term plan, it was at the stage where the staff had all their "we'd love to do all these things" list, which is obviously longer than what the council is going to decide on, but in that was a couple of million for solving that problem. Do we know any idea about whether that's going to get all the way through the LTP process?
Well, it's still in the budget.
Right.
Alison and Lisa both pointed that out to us yesterday at the meeting, so it's still within the budget. There's some money there for that, yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully it'll stay there. It is a safety issue. And it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, we'll get. I know you haven't been on the LTP thing much lately, so I'll talk to Lisa about that next week.
Yep.
But that's at least that's some kind of answer. It's still in there. We've got some car parks being refurbished soon. Wainui Beach Car Park and Papahua, some part of it, because that's already been done down at Papahua, half of it.
Yeah, they're going to, well, at Wainui Beach, they're basically going to fix up all the potholes and reseal the whole area again.
Okay.
And remark it and that sort of that. So that'll just tidy that one up. And at Papahua, it's really, tidy up, reseal and that type type of thing. I think also where all the bark is that washes out, where they used to have, well, it used to be bark years ago, washes out, and if it's rained, it's all just muddy where you actually park your cars on the seaside.
Yeah.
That's going to be all tidied up and resurfaced as well.
Okay. All right. The Wee Nearer Walkway, the walkway from the jetty to the footbridge, there was what work? It looks like they just threw some concrete at the wall last year. I'm sure there was a bit more to it than that, but I was just, there were like little holes in the wall that had been filled in. But did they do more than just put some concrete on the holes?
Yeah, yeah. They backfilled underneath them and things like that. So they re-stabilised the whole wall.
Right.
To make it structurally waterproof and sound.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. And now they're just going through getting the final consenting sorted out, and they'll put a walkway all the way through from the jetty through to the bridge with a handrail, and that'll be approximately 1.8 wide.
Have we seen any drawings of that? Have you seen any drawings of that?
Yeah, drawings have been around for that.
Okay. So the foot area will be 1.8 metres wide, handrail, what, a metre or something normal like that?
Yeah, 1,200 I think the handrail is on the seaside.
That's quite high.
And it'll be cantilevered over the... So it's wider than the footpath at the moment, so it'll be cantilevered over the existing wall that's there at the moment.
Oh, that's how
so it won't be
that.
built up. It'll be just cantilevered over.
Okay, I've been wondering about that. Yeah. So otherwise they've got to go down a long way.
Yeah. So they've done geotech drilling and everything to prove that the stability of the existing footpath is up to taking the load of the new footpath going, but which is basically just going on top of it.
Okay. All right. There was something in the agenda about community board plans. Maybe it's my memory, but is this a new thing that the council's doing?
Well,
you guys have always had your own plans.
Yeah, we've always had our own plan, and we keep rolling that out every sort of 3 to 6 months, redoing it and what we want to address.
Yeah.
Some things get done, some things get pushed back, because everything we want to do is obviously going to cost money, and we've got to try and find that money within council and things like that. But the council itself seems to have come out with an idea of having a plan across all community boards, and I don't know what other community boards have done, but we'll push on with what we've done in the past, which aligns pretty much with what they're proposing, although we probably won't. Their draft looks like it's been developed by a consultant and talks about a myriad of things that are sort of soft issues rather than hard structural things that we really want to do.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be tending to face on those hard structural things rather than emotional things.
So this is a community board plan that wasn't developed by the community board?
Well, it's not a plan. They've just come out with a format. It's not a plan. Council hasn't come out with a plan. They've just come out with a format.
So I think the thing for me that I kind of like is that there's something in there that the staff can refer to when they want to know what the local communities want.
Yes.
That sounds okay. Although there's blueprints, but they're a bit more blue sky thinking, aren't they?
They are more blue sky thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Where's my little thing? Oh, CCTV. Some people have been wanting CCTV cameras in town for a while. It sounds like it is going to happen.
Yeah, I think there's 7 locations that we've identified. And that's back with council now, and they're working through the process because they got an X amount of money, but it covers the whole district. So we've identified the key areas and prioritised those, and now we're just waiting for them to come back and tell us how many we can have and when they'll be going up.
Okay,
That is progressing.
Okay. This is not something that I'd planned for us to talk about, but it's just kind of wondering now. I noticed that the government is now saying things about Three Waters, what might be happening with that in the future. Have you seen any of that?
No.
I just saw a news item the other day, so I'm not very up with it.
2004 has been a bit challenging for me because I've been out of town most of the time.
You're dressed in work clothes right now. It looked like you're about to head up a pylon or something.
No, I'm actually heading to Karapira and then to Matahina. But,
yeah.
So I'm not really across what's happening with the LTP at this stage and the details of that. So that's really, I would say, get Lisa to give you a rundown on it.
Yeah, at the moment I'm just seeing politicians saying one thing and other politicians saying another. So in the end, it's probably going to be up to the experts within council to actually comment whether they think they can work with it or not.
Yeah,
that's what I imagine.
It's you know, the Waikato District Council has got some huge challenges with, particularly with wastewater right across the council. So it's going to be very, very challenging for them.
I think every council does.
Yeah, they probably do. But
I mean, Auckland's got spills on their beaches, closing their beaches, much worse than we do these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, actually, that was something we did touch on briefly, was because there were a few issues with the wastewater system at the end of last year. There's a report just come out. Have you had time to read it? I haven't even found it yet.
No, I haven't read it at this stage.
Okay. Yeah, because that actually, I think that was only available like yesterday or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And there was those crazy...
crazy readings around the museum and...
And the water, yeah.
Yeah, and the water. And, yeah, we haven't... Obviously, they have, from the discussion that was in the community board meeting yesterday, obviously they haven't resolved what's initiating those. And I was intrigued that Lisa said they were going to come and talk to me, because I was talking at the meeting we had at the Union Church Hall about the pipe that used to run up Stewart Street.
Yes.
And there used to be a great big culvert there because we would walk in it.
Oh, right. What, when you were kids?
Yeah.
Oh, that long ago. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so that ran up sort of in it, ran in just the town side of the where the museum is now.
Yeah.
Basically there, and ran up through where those new apartments have been building. And I just wondered whether the big waste that they've put in there is actually was part of it and that sort of thing. But it was in that area.
Yeah, I think Lisa said they've checked out the council lines that they're aware of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they haven't found a cause there. But it was just, folks, if you weren't aware of it, there were a couple of tests done in the water sort of near the museum and through October. I think most of them were fine, but there were a couple of massive spikes.
Yeah, after heavy rain,
right,
they got some spikes, quite high ones. So yeah, they were trying to investigate where that water was. And the fact that it's come after rain tends to think it's run off from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have to say. But
yeah,
but where is producing that level of
where it's coming, where is
toxicity?
It's, yeah, where is it seeping out of the bank into the harbour and that sort of thing? It hasn't been identified.
Yeah, now another thing, did Lisa say... Where did I hear this? The regional council is not going to fine the district council for the wastewater releases that weren't done correctly last year.
Yeah, Lisa just mentioned that when she was in the meeting yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that must have been announced yesterday in council or something.
Yeah, okay. So that's the news we've got on that. There was some work done to the harbour beacon. This is when people are out at sea and they want to come back in through the correct part of the
right channel.
The right channel, and not hit any sand and get knocked over and publicly humiliated.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure why that ended up in our meeting agenda, because I thought that was actually done by regional council, but maybe I'm wrong. Because I know I got some complaints about it wasn't, people couldn't see it from out at sea when it was initially put in.
So light was pointing the wrong way.
And I made some inquiries about it and got told that it was actually a regional council issue and regional council, which I did, and lodged a complaint with them, but I never heard back.
Okay. And I did. We were talking off the air about how John Lawson finds all details everywhere. He had found something on that it had to be the reason the beacon had to be lifted up because someone wanted to build an extra story on their house in front of it. That's what he was saying. Was that?
Yeah, I can't comment on that. I don't know.
I know. So John finds the most amazing details, and I'm like, really? How did that?
Yeah. Well, someone did well if that was the case.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they did. Yeah. So just in terms of for the year, have you got things that you're hoping to get done this year?
Yeah, we've got a list of items on there. I don't really want to go into it because we might not get half of them done. But after our meeting, we can probably have a talk about those.
Say our meeting, you mean the community board just to plan the year.
We'll have an in-house meeting, but then we'll sort of come out and they say to everyone, this is what we want to consider and want to push through. There'll also be the LTP too, which we need to sort of take into account. There's going to be discussion and consultation on the LTP in March as well, and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a busy month.
Yeah.
But, you know, things like parking, we need to look at the parking. We're going to have to visit Freedom Camping again because it is an issue, particularly for those in James Street.
So is James Street not on the list of streets?
It's not a banned. Well, there's not much of Raglan that is banned where you can't park.
Well, no, that's a function for people who are not quite sure. It's a function of the legislation where you can't ban freedom camping. You can only ban it on a particular street.
Yeah,
and so I think it's kind of a game of whack-a-mole a little bit. Like, we're banning it on this street and they pop up somewhere else.
Well, but I think also, and I've asked people to look into it, is I think when people go to the information centre and things like that, they get told, oh, you can park on John Street or James Street and that sort of thing. So everyone goes there. Whereas, you know, you'd be better to let them just go and find somewhere, and that way they might be all separate instead of having 20 in one place.
Yeah, yeah, you could just say, these are the streets you can't. Yeah. Everywhere else is kind of okay if you can find a nice spot.
Yeah, and let them go and find a nice spot and rather than direct them all to one area, which just causes, you know, frustration for the residents, particularly in places, you know, like James Street, where it's pretty built up. You've got people out there yahooing around at midnight and things like that. And you want to actually get to sleep. It's a bit frustrating.
There's also those apps. I've never seen one, but apparently the travellers know there's an app, and you can individually you can put an I'm camping here. This is a good spot, and then that also attracts people to a single spot as well.
Yeah, I imagine it would. Yeah,
yeah. That's like a very efficient way of getting everyone in one place.
Oh, well, maybe we need to get a few guys to start putting it in, saying this is a nice spot, and getting everyone else to go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, get someone. Well, that actually seems like the easiest way, doesn't it? Just get the app on your phone and
keep directing to
direct people to different spots. Yeah,
yeah,
that would solve most of those problems.
I won't say where.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, Soundsplash. You guys have spent a bit of time looking at Soundsplash.
Things
were better this year.
Yeah, things were definitely better.
When we say better, we're talking about what was happening at the airfield with the kids waiting in the sun and the buses.
And the buses and the alleviation, the one-way bridge and the congestion into town on Saturday morning and Friday morning wasn't as bad as it was last year and things like that. So, yeah, they did make a huge improvement. Most of the discussion now is around fees and charges. And what's a fair fee to charge them? So there'll be ongoing discussion on that, and also we'll be looking for a formal feedback to the community board meeting in the next month or so on what went well and what didn't go well and what improvements are looking at making for next year.
Okay. And speaking of the bridge, and it's the long term plan, I've noticed every. Folks who don't know, they redo the council spending plan, the LTP, every 3 years. And for at least the last 10 years, it's been in there, off in the distance. And every time they renew the LTP, it gets put back. This is the double laning of the one-way bridge. So it gets busy around Soundsplash and on busy holiday weekends. How much of it is a problem is that? It would be nice just to be able to drive straight across the bridge. But how much of it is it worth spending all that money? Because we've got a few days of the year, I guess. That's the question. A few days of the year where it's blocked.
Yeah, it's an interesting question in that a lot of people raise it, that it is a challenge. But I travel over it quite a bit because obviously I live in Raglan West nowadays and that sort of thing. And I regularly have to stop, obviously. But I'm not stopped for more than 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I'm away again. So to me it's not a huge – it's not a real problem.
Yeah.
There is those weekends when I know people have come from Raglan going out to the beach and they've said, yeah, they've had to wait quite a long time. So, you know, they're probably waiting a couple of minutes. But again,
5 minutes feels like a long time to us in Raglan. When you go to Hamilton, you don't even think about sitting still for five minutes.
No, if you're trying to drive from the university at 5 o'clock to come to Raglan, you're probably going to spend 20 minutes getting crossed down.
Yeah.
And things like that. So... it's a question of what's the priorities. You know, do you alleviate the traffic and the congestion there by spending 30-odd million or whatever it'll cost? I don't know what it'll cost, but it'll be a significant amount of money. It's probably more like 5 million. As against all the other priorities that we've got in town, particularly with wastewater and things like that, and put the money into those. So my gut feeling, it's going to get worse. And there's going to be a point in time when it has to be done, but I think we've still got 5 years or so before it's really going to be frustrating.
So one of the alternatives to double laning the bridge is a bypass road round the back through Rangitahi coming somewhere out near the entrance to Extreme. And I know that was been staff were looking at that as a possibility. Well, they're doing a report on it recently. That's much more expensive, though, than a double laning of a bridge, but... it's going to have to happen one day.
Well, it's going to have to, yeah, it will have to happen. And there is the planners are looking at where they can put roads through, right through to Mangatawhiri Road,
yeah.
And that sort of thing. And once Rangatahi is fully developed and you've got 500 odd houses there, yeah, they'll need a back entrance into that through Mangatawhiri Road or somewhere.
I know people will be asking, are the developers who are bringing all those people to town, are they paying for the road? How does that work?
Well, they'll come back to the old thing of they pay a roading contribution. The reality is that roading contribution isn't huge, and the road's probably going to cost more than 300 or 400 sections multiplied by the roading contribution. The cost of the road's probably greater than that in all reality.
Yeah.
So it comes back to, is Waka Kotahi going to, or the government going to fund part of it, or is it going to fully fall on the ratepayer?
So if we call it State Highway 23, we might be able to get them to pay for it.
Well, that would be the thing, is to get that diverted up Mangatawhiri Road or something.
Waka Kotahi is so slow. They've been supposedly working on safety stuff for State Highway 23 for a few years now. And everyone is in agreement that the intersection of Greenslade Road is a bit ropey, but trying to get them to do something about it, like I've messaged them, their comms department, a few times, and
they are challenging. It's going to be interesting, this one, but they're doing it Mangatawhiri Road now, and the outage that they're going to have with that. So I hope everyone knows that the road's going to be closed at certain times of the night and on certain days.
Which road?
Where they're doing the roadworks, I think it's at the intersection of Mangatawhiri Road. It was Chronicle recently.
Actually, I was in Hamilton yesterday, and they had paid a radio station in Hamilton to play an ad about that. But I'm going to message them and say, "Hey, what about us?
Yeah, well, why not?
We're actually the target market. You haven't even called us up."
So that road's going to be closed. I think it was 9 PM to 6 AM or something some nights.
Yeah,
and things like that. So hopefully everyone's aware of that. But it was in the Chronicle a week or so ago.
Some people will be caught by surprise, no matter how hard you try. There's always some people who get caught by surprise, but then they'll learn when they get there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, Dennis, thanks for coming in. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention on top of all the things we've talked about?
No, I think that sort of covers most things.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Okay. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, folks, we're going to have a little ad break, and we might have some more music after this.